accept your word in our lives and your spirit to quicken it. Quicken your word within us, O Lord. Quicken your truth within us. We thank you for what you have done this morning, Father. Thank you for your presence in our fellowship, your presence in our singing. Thank you for answering our prayers. Lord, as we get ready to depart after sharing the word, we pray, God, that the word we need for the week will go with us. We are your sheep, hungry to be fed by you. You know what's prepared in this book, but Lord, there's no knowing except to you what in time and eternity you are going to use this moment for in the life of all the hearers. So we thank you. We thank you for journey mercies for those who traveled and are back, even as we have prayed. Father, we put before you, even as we go into the sermon, the trials, the troubles in every heart again, that the Holy Ghost will minister to every listening heart, even as your mind is shared this morning. Father, I'll be there soon, I pray again, in any heart that is seated here, that your word which reveals the heart goes for, that the heart of every man will be revealed, and nothing will stand between any of us and our darling Lord Jesus Christ. Father, everything you send your word to accomplish, Father, please accomplish it in Jesus' name. Consecrate this vessel, unfit as I am. Lord, you use unfit things. Your word says none, even if some were. I'm unworthy of this, but I bless you, because exactly in unworthy vessels, your strength is made manifest. Father, use me this morning. I have nothing to offer your people. My wisdom, my understanding cannot advance the cause of Jesus, but your anointing makes the difference. Anoint, Lord, that your Father, that your people would not have wasted these precious few minutes coming up. In the name of Jesus, I pray that the ugly bird will not eat the word from the heart at its drops. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Welcome everybody to the presence of the Lord. And it is with joy, with gladness, and also in reality that I welcome you to one more day before Jesus comes back. Ultimately, I'm reminded that every day, time and eternity is head back. The clock counts down until Jesus appears in the cloud to take us home. I'm reminded on that day when nothing else will matter, when all of us will receive our reward, the day that those in the grave and those that are yet alive, who, of course, are those who will be in the grave if Jesus tarries, will have only one thing on our minds, to see the glory of the risen Lamb as he comes back to take his harvest. The day when the poor will mix with the rich, when the healthy will mix with the sick, when the lame and the strong will be mixed together, the day when it will no longer matter what we wear, what we drink, what we don't, who we are, who we are not. When all that will matter is that precious name, Jesus. That precious name, Jesus. That marvelous name, Jesus. There is no other name like him. Bless the Lord. I thank the Lord. So every day we welcome ourselves to one more day closer than when we will meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I just would like to, which is my job. I take these moments very seriously as the Lord has instructed me. I'm not allowed to speak of myself or give you what my view of the message is. To be very candid, it's tiresome. My message, my job this morning is to remind the people of what Jesus said. We are servants. We are not authors. We are not editors. We are reporters. And I just, as I've been praying, I was praying yesterday and thinking, Lord, your word is vast. What would you have the people hear this morning? And it's laid on my mind a few things that I'd like to share. The first is from, is a simple story from the book of Mark chapter 5. Please let me look for Mark chapter 5. I'd like someone to please read. It's a very common story, and I know that the Lord is sending this word out to someone today for a purpose. I'd like someone to please start reading from verse 21. Mark 5. Anybody that finds it, she read from 21.
Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. Verse 24. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples had said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Ranke. I'd like you to please open again to John chapter 5 and read from verse 1.
John 5:1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before him, me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured? It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him.
Amen. Sorry, Sister Ruth. Thank you. Thank God for that. And I want us to remember both of these stories. But let's turn our Bibles quickly to Mark 5, again, from verse 21. And this was the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, surrounded by a multitude. And, you know, I think it's important to draw parallels as we study the scripture between the incidents and how it applies to us. Every scripture is written that we may be blessed. So Jesus beset by multitude. And I want you to just picture in this multitude, there were people with different needs. And also picture how relevant everybody we think they are. Can you imagine Wembley Stadium filled with people and Jesus is in the middle? The aisle H7,300 seat there, section H. How relevant do you think that individual will feel? I reckon, or those that are in the bleachers, I reckon they will feel insignificant. They'll feel they are part of a multitude and Jesus does not know them. And each one of them passed the metal detector that morning, hoping to relate with Jesus. So I want you to put yourself in this story. Because as we sit here, as they sit upstairs, all across the globe this morning as the clock changed, they are penitents, people seeking Jesus for one thing or the other, and you're only one. Oftentimes you feel like you're a lone voice in a multitude. Different needs. Some people in that multitude need food, as evidenced in John 6 and John 8, when the issue was about bread. Some people needed healing. Not everybody needed healing. Some people needed a word of wisdom, as the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3 taught us. As we all sit, we all have different needs. So I want you to remember and just be in the multitude with Jesus this morning. And then we read in verse 2 that in Mark chapter 5, verse 22, rather, that behold, one ruler of the synagogue came, and Jairus by name. I want you to put yourself in that multitude this morning. And just the way the Lord created the earth, there are just some people with influence. The Bible tells us his name. This man had connection. He probably knew the disciples. He ruled the same synagogue that they went to pray. He probably was also sympathetic to the Christian faith. He knew Jesus personally. Not only that, the Lord knew him. He was a man of significance. Now, not everybody is a person feels that significant. You're sitting in church. There are some people this morning that you feel Jesus knows their name, and you're wondering whether the Lord Jesus knows your name. But here's a man whose name was Jairus, and the Bible told us, like the Bible expects us to have heard about him. That's Jairus now. That's the ruler of the synagogue. Such men have seen, they have the heft to actually invite Jesus to their homes. Jairus was not the kind of man in the bleachers. Jairus was not the regular crowd. Jairus was the kind of guy who could whisper to Philip, say, I gotta see the master. And Philip would say to Nathanael, don't you know him? That's Mr. Jairus. Remember the other day when we needed a hall to host the Lord? He was the guy that arranged it. So spiritually, as you sit this morning, you might not be a Moses. You might not be Jairus. A Moses who will say to the Lord, Lord, I'm tired of simply hearing your voice. I want to see your face. You may not be a David. You may not feel like David, who will go, I'm a friend of the Lord, or whom the Lord will send a personal prophet to anoint him. You may not be, who are those characters, Boaz. You may not be one of those people whose name are known by the disciples and the angels. You may not feel like you're one of those. But there are people like that. So this man's name was Jairus. Lesson number one. We have different estates in Christ. Moses, the Lord said, I spoke to mouth to mouth. To the rest of you, by my word and my prophets, I speak. All of us, children of God. So I don't know. as we sit here, I'm so conscious of the fact that all of us sit here with specific issues that we bring to the temple of God every week. If the Lord were to reveal everybody's heart, I bet you the farthest thing from most of our minds this morning, sincerely and sincerely so, may be word evangelism. Because the child has to eat, the school fee is not paid. It's just the reality this morning. Many of us, we word evangelize, but we're not happy. If they truly ask some of you, are you happy? And you're going to be sincere. Your answer will be, as of today, I don't feel the joy of the Lord in me. And we're knocking on the door of grace and petitioning the Lord for one thing. And we feel after so many years that we're in this multitude. Some of us feel a direct connection and we feel that our prayers are heard in a very personal sense. So Darius was a man like that. They knew him. The Bible says his name was Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He came to Christ. But I want you to learn something from Jairus. The Bible says in that verse 22, when he saw the Lord, he did what? I want you to mark that word. He fell at the feet of the Lord. This morning, I want to talk to us regarding every encounter, every situation about falling at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that the man who fell at the feet of Christ was the one man that Jesus knew by name. The man did not come to Jesus saying, I'm a sympathetic ruler of the synagogue. You already know about me and I have a problem. No. He came and he fell at the feet of Christ. I'm here to challenge you, Christian heart, to remember, to supplicate, to fall at the feet. Never to let off, never to let go. By prayer, begging, he begged with thanksgiving. Make your request known. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious over nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplication. It is not enough to know the name of Jesus concerning situations. All of them, most of them little situations. Some of them mighty ones. Right? We're going to see in scriptures a pattern where you fall, you supplicate. You beg yourself through your problems before the Lord. There's a tendency for those of us who we know are known by name by Christ to relax. Jairus came. Jairus already knew what the Lord could do. And yet when he approached Jesus, he did not fold his hands. He fell and he begged. As I was reading this, the Lord showed me this. Also showed me the story, reminded me again the story in Luke chapter 18, you know, the story of the persistent widow who came to that king and begged. May I ask you a simple question? When was the last time you begged Jesus? There's the tendency to fall into the trap that the Lord already knows what's happening to me. That is true. The Lord loves me. Why should I beg? Well, because the Bible says by prayer, begging, supplicate. Supplicant means a beggar. Supplication means to beg. To plead together with the giving of thanks. Make your request known unto the Lord. Are you striving enough? Jairus came to the Lord here and he fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And begged him earnestly, saying, he came, he fell. He earnestly begged. Here was a man with connection. Here was what I could say, a man who was known by the disciples already, whose name was known in scriptures already. He was a ruler of the synagogue. Yet he did not come folding his hands. What is that issue now? Are you begging? You plead with the king. Jairus came and he begged. And Jairus was specific about what he wanted. He said, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. May passion be fired up in us. What's that scripture? It said, be ye lifted up, O everlasting gate, right? Lift thou up, O what?
Your head.
Your head, O ye what? Gate. Be lifted up, you everlasting, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. You don't choose your problems. I think both of us know, all of us know, you don't have the prerogative of picking the kind of problems you will have in life. You all know that. Your problems pick you. And as our faces differ, so our problems differ. But there's one thing we all have. We have the King of glory. God picks your problems for you, that he may show himself mighty on our behalf. He has set us all with our peculiar problems. He said, there's no temptation that is beyond you, that will befall you. But with every temptation, he will make a way of escape. Here's my point, brethren. Are there households in Maryland with relentless praying? Are saints fainting? Are you waking up at night to address that issue, or are you resigned? In Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ went 3 times praying. If it were possible, Lord, begging. Begging, begging. As since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and men of violence grab it by force. You don't get to pick your problems, your problems pick you. Never let off. You see, there's something about us Christians. The solution is simple. It's always Jesus. If you read the story of Israel, the whole of the Old Testament is this, summarized in one sentence. The Lord picked the people, gave them peculiar challenges, and he overcame on their behalf and delivered them to the promised land. They misbehaved, he delivered them when they called on him, when they begged him. Why that incident over and over and over and over again? The Lord is a lover over and above all. He picks the people and he manifests himself to them. The Lord in Christ has picked us to manifest his grace and his glory in every circumstance in our lives. In New Covenant Church, we try to keep our eyes on the overarching agenda, the kingdom of the Lord coming. We don't really focus on problems. But it occurred to me yesterday that there's a war of attrition on believers. The little foxes that ravage the vine, issues over and over and over again that we are not going to lie. Eternity is not the priority in our hearts anymore. You are contending every day. We must, in the power of God, live a life of victory in order to be able to evangelize victory to others. I pray that it will come to a time when the church is a place where the troubled run in here and they find peace. In the name of Jesus. I pray all of us will have a testimony. But there's something that is lacking. The altar is cold. We're no longer people of violence. We give up. Prayer is the rod of a Christian, like they say in Yoruba. I thank God for the kind of problems we have. The ones that money can solve. You have solved it. Jairus had spent his money. But we're not talking about Jairus this morning. I just want you to see a man of connection, Jairus, who had a problem. And he went to the Lord. And he did not just go to the Lord, "I've got connection, Lord. You know me by name." That's it. He begged. The Lord loves the penitent. He begs. I love the fact that we are not strong. The Bible says, in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. That's exactly what he designed us. He did not call the strong, the brave, the wise. He called the meek and the lowly. Oftentimes, we are too strong. Woe is the man whose strength is in the flesh. The arm of flesh will fail you, but he keeps in perfect peace those whose heart has stayed on him because they trust in him. This is the perfect gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not the kind of peace that your network, one day your network will fail you. Maybe physicians can heal sickness. Can they heal cancer? But behold, we have a Lord who can heal all things. You have problems that money can solve. What if there's no money in the bank account? Or the economy crashes and nobody to hire you and your skill set? But we have a Savior who lives. This is our pride, brethren. We know Jesus. He is our peace. Do you understand? There's a weakness in the house. Let the fire of the Lord begin to burn. Where are the men that will pray? Where are the praying women? Where are those who are weak in them? The Lord is tired of strong people. Strong people cannot do the work of the Lord. Pray. Jairus came begging. He begged. He begged. The man with connection begged. He begged Jesus by prayer, supplication, begging with thanksgiving. And I pray that all this, I pray that the mood amidst us will be jubilant once again. Upon Mount Zion there will be deliverance. The sons of Jacob will possess their possession, says the word of God. He says the word from his mouth cannot return to him void, but it will accomplish everything that he has sent it. What do we come here to offer? If not Jesus Christ, who is our confidence? Is our faith built on our mutual characters and personalities, which is fickle? Or on the economy of the United States, which is fickle? Our confidence is based on the possibilities in Christ. That is our faith. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I don't know any other message. A pastor can succor you, but I think you've experienced it, at least those of you that I personally have spoken to in crisis. We talk the talk, we pray with you, and you can see in our eyes that we're just longing that Jesus will pick up where we leave off. Man, we fail you. Even pastors are supplicating. Who are even pastors? It's the title we give them. There's no pastor in heaven. We are all, Jesus loves each one of us intensely. Why don't you capitalize on that? I'm just wondering, are people waking up at 4 a.m. to pray? Or have people folding their hands? Jairus exhausted everything. Then he went to Christ. He begged. My daughter is sick. Come home with me. I know when you put your... That's where his own faith was. See, that hand must be on top. If not, it won't happen. Remember that lady and Elijah? Is this the Shunammite or... The Elijah, and it was thank God that lady, they said, "Where are you going?" He said, "It is well. I know my Redeemer. I know where I'm going. I don't have to talk to all of you." Where are the Shunammite women and men here? Say, "Where are you going?" "I don't have time for story. I know where I'm going. Saddle the donkey. Let me reach Jesus. Let me reach Elijah." Say, "Okay, let me send Gehazi, my servant, together with my rod. I'm not leaving hell. My house is burning. this one is more than Gehazi. You must come. Jairus said, come to my house, Jesus. They almost certainly get what they want. She was connected too, by the way. She was the lady that had a house, a little place for the prophet when she came back. She used that connection. Begging. My Lord, why did you promise me this only to take my son away from me? You should have left me the way I am. Come, don't send your servant. Does this make sense? I don't know what it is. I know Jesus is bigger. What it is that is killing the joy of believers. That unbelievers look at us and they say it's useless to go to church. Look at you, your eyes look as dim as mine. Wherein is the hope that you people used to promise the world? Where is the spark that used to be in your eyes? Where is the joy of the Lord that used to consume your heart? You people don't look any happier than we are. There cannot be evangelism unless forced evangelism happens within the church. Now judgment will start from the house of the God, of the Lord. If the righteous are scarcely saved, what will be the end of those who do not believe the gospel? I think there's a missing element of the desperate soul, souls on fire. Let's remember, we're not useless people. The Lord is not impressed by our strength, by the number of Bible passages we know, by the number of books of deliverance we've read. But he's almost certainly impressed by supplication. Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence. Men of violence take it by force. I just want to remind us of this fact. Please don't let go. Is there a trouble? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's begin to rise up early and prepare for battle. Tell it to the Lord. Do you still believe in miracles? No matter how many times we've fallen, Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So Jairus begs the Lord. Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Jairus, that's what multitudes do. They follow. They go to Sunday service. They go to prayer meeting. They just follow. They go through them. No personal encounter. They just follow and listen. Then when they declare bread, they're happy. So many people, maybe it's bread they want. But there are some burning hearts who want to feel the hands of Jesus. I pray that the Lord will fire up our spirit to believe, to be people who believe in the impossible. The world needs us to be. And, of course, the next verse says, there was a certain woman that had a flow of blood for 12 years. What would that be? Hemophilia, or what's that thing that the blood just does not clot anymore? Right? Hemorrhage. Yeah, what is it? I'm curious to know. What would that diagnosis be today? Dr. Ibiroba? Yeah? For 12 years, right. Just wouldn't stop. Let's see what the scripture says. She had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all she had. She was no better, but rather she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch the clothes, his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, there was this lady at the bleachers, exactly the same heart. She did not have exactly the same connection. She did not know Philip. She did not know Nathaniel. She did not know the right Bible passage. She was not a ruler of the synagogue. She probably was not religious. But she heard. She heard. She heard. You know, and this is the gospel extended by Brother Wiley, right? I'm wondering if she probably heard from that John 9 man that we read. Remember that man, John 9, who was by the pool? And for how many years? How many years have we been waiting? Now, look at this scenario. The connected, the unconnected. That other man had not even so much as heard about Jesus. I'm sorry. The John chapter 5 man, the paralytic, sorry, not paralytic, the one by the pool Bethesda. But the Bible tells us in that story that Jesus went to him. And you know, the Lord does this. The Lord has a gift, a present for everyone. The only one out of those three that supplication wasn't required of was the one who had never heard about Christ, but Jesus introduced himself. Do you want to be made well? At times, that is how deliverance comes to some people. I say, yes, sir. And then, of course, he explained, oh, really, my deliverance absolutely must come from this pool. And the angel just did not stare. If the angel did stare, as you can see, can you see? I'm lame. I can't, before I go, only first come, first serve basis. I will never be there. I've been sitting here for 30-something years. Do you want to be healed? Yes. Okay, carry your hand. And he did, and he walked. What I'm interested in the story was that immediately after he was healed, he went about telling everybody. He confessed that, I don't even know the man. All I know is that I have been healed by him. That's how some people come to Christ. And I wonder why he was going about telling, because it's the same area, that this paralytic 12 years, say, did you see what that man did to me? Which man? I think they said his name is Jesus. What did he do? You've not heard? Maybe you've seen me by the pool Bethesda, by the community pool before. Yes, I did. How come you are walking? Story, ask me again. I'm telling you, that man healed me. What do you say is wrong with you? Issue of ordinary issue of blood. Did you see me? I was a paralytic. Yeah? How many years did you say your problem? Just 12. You better go to him. You must have remarkable. I did not have a single faith. He just asked me. And he went, and of all the people in Wembley Stadium that day, I'm connecting it to our reality. She, because she believed, she said, I know. If only I can touch the hem of his garment, it's done. The man who did it for the paralytic, this extended by Brother Wale, will do it for me. How does that apply to you? A multitude of people, different problems. In this story, only two took steps to address it. This woman was not known. She went through the window. She did not go through Philip and Nathaniel. She did not have that heft, that personality. But she just rumbled through the crowd and said, only you people know what, I know what, if only I can touch. Is anybody waking up today saying, the only reason this persists is because I have yet to touch. If only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be fine. Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence. People who really, 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 really want it, they get it. We are not helpless. As long as your tongue can move, you have a weapon. The shield of prayer. Praying with all manners of prayer and begging, supplication before the Lord. So when all doors close, remember, she had suffered long in the hands of physicians. There was no, I keep saying, what do you have to lose? I can understand if there are other options. Men have disappointed you. Women have disappointed you. Connection has failed you. So we pray. That's, to me, is a no-brainer. We just beg. And people say, what is prayer? Beg. I don't know how many times I've gone. Say, Lord, please. I beg you, Lord. Please, Father. Please. You don't need fancy language. Just say what's in your heart. Lord, I beg you. Because that's what the Bible says. I beg you. Luke 18, the woman was begging the king. The Lord said, how much more will the Father answer those who day and night plead with him? I beg you. I just don't want you to forget. Because the persistence of an issue does not mean the issue is closed. You know, the fact that it hasn't happened 30-something years, 12 years, the fact that issue persists does not mean that's the end of the story. The Lord determines when it ends, not us. Here's our job. Our job is to what? To persist. Don't give up. I've been praying. Nothing has happened. Well, for 30-something, but on that day when something happened, this is why I love the Pentecostal preachers. And something happened. What did I say? Something happened. At times it's nice to just remember those things. Because something will happen. That's the end of the story. The end of the story is with every saint that's mentioned in the Bible, you live, read their life, and Joseph was troubled, sold into slavery, blackmailed at his master's house, was sent to prison, and then something happened. David chased from town to town, a mere shepherd boy, always a problem, marauding raiders, they stole his wife and children, and he's supposed to have been anointed, and he wanted to make music, all he was getting was, but something happened. What's your story? Beg. Please don't be. Jesus is not impressed at our personalities and aura and sweet, oh yeah, Lord. Or our theology. Or I already know that you know about the problem, Lord. I don't know why I really have to discuss it. Jairus did not do that. He was a well-connected man. He begged. Please. The Lord Jesus begged. What he did not want to happen still happened. But guess what? His prayer was answered. The Lord strengthened them. The cross was no longer an issue. Beg. Am I Jekash? I don't know. To be bilingual is a problem. Who do I have to interpret to? No, it's not fair. My sister, you understand? Sister, Obolobo. Sister, where's Grandma Ned? Auntie Megan, teaching. She left. Emma Jeka Shakosi Jesu. On the day you die, you'll be stripped naked. There's nothing to you, my dear. You are just flesh and blood, except for the breath of Christ in you. There's no younger. We are vulnerable. If you're able to lift up your head today, it's because of the grace of God. You can younger to people. With your maker, you better strip yourself naked at 4 a.m. and say, here I am, O Lord. I am nothing. Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence. Simple, ordinary woman with no name. It's getting hard, but it bleaches. Look at him. I wonder what he's going to talk about today. What's the Lord Jesus going to talk about? Oh, that's really smart. I like the way you put that, Lord. Some are applauding in Wembley. Jairus is going, I got a sick child. Show me your master. Nathaniel, he was calling in the chips instantly, his connections. Philip, I allowed you to come into the synagogue. I was the one that gave you guys the chambers for the Passover the other day. I need to see the master. He was calling in his connection, calling it in. I have to see him. Philip, open the door. You know me personally. My name is Jairus, right? Look. I am the ruler of the synagogue in Jerusalem. I need to see your master. I'm feeling that, Lord, you have to see this man. He's a very, very important man. No man is important. Lord is a really nice guy. Remember the other day when we needed chambers? He gave it to us in the synagogue. He's not one of those other Pharisees that you don't like. He has to see you, Lord. And the Lord said, look, where are you? What's his name? Jairus. I've had Jairus. Call him. He's a nice person. What do you want? Master, I know that you are busy. I know that you have 30,000 people praying to you every day, and some of them probably have their own children sick. But I do not carry the problem of the world on my shoulder. I carry the problem of only one girl. And I need you to please attend to this girl on my behalf. Please come into my home. My daughter is going to die. Please, Lord. Master, please. I know it's probably unfair that you're in the midst of a ministration and there are prayers in China. There's the prayer for evangelism. There's the prayer for recovery. There's a prayer to take China and Ecuador. There's the prayer of the unbeliever. There's prayer going on. I know this place is filled with people in Wembley. I know I'm not the only one with a sick child. I know it's probably unfair for me to call in the chiefs today. But please, my Lord, all I know is that you are the one that carries the problem of the world. I just have one daughter that is sick. Please come to my house. Please. I reckon there could be only one response to that. All right, the meeting is closed. Let us go to your house. And then, please don't be one of the multitude. They just want to watch. They are spectators. Then they followed. The Lord was heading to solve Jairus' problem, and they followed. The woman with the issue of blood was determined. She held on to what she did know. The report that Jesus was a great one. She said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. She persisted through the crowd. She beat people down. Some men, because she was a woman in a patriarchal society. And she had issue of blood. She was unclean. You know what that meant in Israel? If you touched her, number one, if you had it for 12 years, the physicians, there was no privacy act to protect healthcare information those days. The whole town would know that you're unclean, especially when it had to do with a religious thing like the issue of. So everybody, that's probably how she got to the front fast, because as she was going, people were parting. They were parting ways. And I could bet you she may have thought, oh, this person who was not irritated at that paralytic, this man who could, the only rabbi I know who could relate with someone who was lame, right? I'm sure he will not, all the people, I'm sure he will not run. If I can only, I don't want, Jairus said, lay your hand on me. I dare not be touched by him. I just want to touch the hem of his garment. And she probably was smelly. Ramio ya gaga, Ramio ya gaga. It's not over till it's over, brethren. It is not over. For us Christians, it's never over. You know why I can say that confidently? If I was looking at Sister one day, I'll say it's over. Because her strength is limited. If I was looking at Folake, I'll say it's over. Because her strength is limited. If I was looking at Brother Sunday, I'll say, oh, definitely it's over. Because definitely his strength is limited. But I see Jesus behind us. And because you have Jesus, until it's over, it's never over. Can you pray? Please, the devil will fight you being desperate in Christ. Wake up. Take it to the Lord. One way or the other, your prayer will be answered. If you don't get what you want, you will get what you should have. In all of it, you will have peace. Let's prepare to do the communion this morning. Can some of them, please?